connecting it to the fire.
That's what I want.
Oh, okay. What I want to connect it to is someone, I don't know if there's anyone here in the room, that is planning to travel next week to Eretz Yisrael. And maybe his flight is on the 17th of Tammuz, or alternatively, somebody who has to fly here on the 9th of Av. So let's just give a little bit of an introduction to our topic for today. We live in a time, in a contemporary period, in which travel by plane is common, completely common, and the post can want to know many different things about flying. I think somebody wrote a book on the laws of flying in halachic terms, but one of the issues that the post can address is the issue of attitis. Now, when you're fasting and you're traveling, there are two basic directions that you could be traveling as far as our issues are concerned for today. You could be traveling west or you could be traveling east. If you're traveling Ma'arava, what we call towards the west, for example, let's say you're leaving Israel on your way to Europe or to North America, in such cases, then because of the difference in time, his fast in Israel will end much earlier than it would be in his place of destination. Correct?
No.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. Your fast will end earlier
in Israel. That's what he said.
What I'm saying is that already in Israel, the because again, Israel is 7 hours ahead, right? On my clock, it's already 3:15. So if I left now on a flight, you're 8:15 in the morning. I might theoretically, again, you have to, it changes, obviously. This is not a great example, but if I would leave, let's say, at 8 this morning on my clock, which is 1 a.m. on your clock, I am going to end the fast in Israel. Again, I'm not in Israel now, I'm on a flight, on a transatlantic flight, but if I were in Israel, which is the place of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Origin.
No, I'm looking for a different word. What's the opposite of destination? Departure, right? That's the word. My place of departure, okay? Origin, departure, they're both just as good. So, in my departure place, if I left at 10 a.m. this morning, then 10 hours later, it's 8 p.m., everyone here in Israel is breaking their fast. But I'm on a plane, and I'm going to land in Toronto, let's say if you add 10 hours to 1 a.m., I'm gonna land at 11 a.m. in the morning. The fast is. I'll give you an example. I used to do this in Clanton Park. I used to walk around on Yom Kippur afternoon, and I used to tell the people that my wife broke her fast, and they were all shocked. So I said, that's because my wife is in Yerushalayim; she broke her fast. But if, let's say, we're traveling in the opposite direction, which means we're traveling Mizracha, towards the east, that means we're leaving North America, and we're landing in a place where the fast is already over, but I just started my fast, right? Not that long ago. And again, it gets even more dramatic when you talk about Tisha B'Av and you have a 24-hour fast. So what we want to do is formulate the following question. Does a person have to fast X number of hours? We'll call it the Gavra. Right? He has to fast X number of hours. And if he's in a place where the fast ended already, but he hasn't fasted those X number of hours, he has to continue to fast, even though he's landing in a place where everybody's eating. Or should we say no? The koveh of the fast is not how many hours you fasted, but rather wherever you land, wherever you find yourself. If you find yourself in a place where the fast has already ended, I don't care how many hours you fasted, Yeah, now, and again, it can work in both directions. So if you're traveling towards Israel, you may have a very short fast, and that's, you know, that's I'm saying to you guys as an encouragement to join us on Shavuos of Tammuz, and according to Zechariah Novi, it'll be a day of simcha and happiness. But that would be lakula, because if you are going to establish your fast not based on how many hours you fast, but based on where the fast ended here in Eretz Yisrael, the fast is already over, you can eat. But it could go the opposite direction. If I'm traveling westward, then the halacha that, again, if the halacha is that it's not totally in how many hours I fast, but in where the fast ends, I might be extending my fast for many, many hours. You know, this is going to be the most challenging Shavuos of Tammuz I ever had, because I can't break my fast until you break your fast in Toronto, which is 7 hours later. I've already fasted for who knows how many hours, but I have to extend my fast. Okay, then. So let me just, before I take questions, just want to make sure that my notes will support what I just told you. Okay, betisa marava mizracha. If I'm going from Europe or from North America to Israel, then the fast has not ended yet in Europe. Because let's say Europe is Europe actually is only 2 hours earlier, let's say, in certain places. But let's say in North America is 7 hours earlier. So when I reach my destination, traveling from North America eastward to Israel, that's your case, then when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, the fast at that moment is still going on in North America, but in Israel the fast is over. Are you allowed to eat immediately when you land in Israel, or maybe even before you land? Okay? Or do you have to add hours to the fast while everyone around you is eating? You can't eat with them because you haven't finished the hours that you're required. That's the case of Mizracha. And the case of Marava, where I'm traveling to Europe or to the United States, let's say, in that case, then because of the difference in time, the fast has already ended in Israel, right, where my point of departure. When I get to America, the fast hasn't ended yet. Do I have to add hours to my fast in order? So again, I'm either subtracting hours if I'm moving eastward, or I'm adding hours if I'm moving westward. Good? So far, so good. That's the introduction to our discussion for today. And by the way, it's not a simple matter. You know, you and I think, well, we do it this way, we do it that way. But as all of halacha, you know, basically when you get back to the nitty-gritty and the original sources, you'll see it ain't so simple. Okay? Now, what we want to begin with, if you have page 1, is a Gemara in Tainis on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So let's see if we can open up to Tainis Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Chisda, 3 lines down from the top of the page. Kol Tainis Shaloshaka Olav Chama Lav Shmei Tainis. So a Tainis has to be the entire day. You can't end the Tainis before nightfall. And we're going to soon see in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's going to be on the bottom of your page, that you shouldn't take the Gemara, Rav Chisda's statement, literally, that it means Shkias HaChama, but rather we have to wait until Tseis HaKochavim, until Varei Laila. But what's important for us now is Rashi in Masechta Tainis. Rashi says, Shalosh Shaka Olav Chama, Shalosh Hisaneh ad osa shah. In other words, Rashi seems to be saying that he's got to fast until that time period. And once again, we have to ask ourselves, what does Rashi mean? I'm going to offer two possibilities, but I think one of them is more appropriate for the language of Rashi. One way is to say it that Rashi means hisane ad osa shah, wherever he encounters shkia sachama. My fast has to end the moment I encounter shkia sachama. If I left a place before shkia sachama, let's say if I land in a place, let's say we're talking about going Mizracha towards Eretz Yisrael. If I land in a place where the Shkia, in Eretz Yisrael it's already Shkia, then it seems from Rashi that that would be sufficient. Chayav hu lis'anos ad Shas HaShkia. So I fasted until Shas HaShkia. You can't deny it's Shas HaShkia. The sun is set. I can even see the sun setting.
Aren't these sources Rashi, Gemara? Aren't they of limited utility here? Because these fellows could not have possibly conceived of air travel.
That your point, Yechiel, is Rav Moshe Feinstein, we'll see in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes from now. Rav Moshe says this Shaila has to be answered by Svara alone. You can't find anything, says Rav Moshe, in Chazal which would answer this question. It's fascinating. I never saw Rav Moshe say such a thing. But again, I don't want to jump the gun, David. Yeah, go ahead.
He didn't have a framework. You're going to try and interpret, like what you're just doing now, interpret literally what the Gemara and Rashi say, but that's not...
Yeah, true. Okay. So let's...
They couldn't.
No, Yechiel, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just asking you to wait 5 minutes so that we get a little...
Wait 5 minutes. There
you know, when we see Rav Moshe Feinstein. Yeah.
There is a pool of the sorts. It's not those Shabbos, Tver, and Tzikori, both the top mountains in the valley, and Shabbos ends earlier depending where you are. Right, so it's kind of like related.
Oh, okay. So, but the only question I have for you, David, is did the Gemara address the question of someone who went from one place to the other and how he finishes his fast? So I don't know. Okay, Rabosai, give me 5 minutes because, as I always tell you, it takes me at least 5-10 minutes till I get my feet on the ground here, especially in a case of an airplane. Okay. What I want to suggest is that Rashi doesn't necessarily mean what we think he means, what we said we thought he means, namely, I encounter the Shkia, boom, I finish my fast. That's not what Rashi means. Rashi might mean to say that Ad Shkia Sachama is a shiur of Zman. It's a duration of time that constitutes a kium of Tainus. And what would lead me to that conclusion? Rashi doesn't say Ad Shiyira Sachama Shokas. Rashi says Ad Shiyisane Ad Osa Shah. Rashi puts all the emphasis on the Tainus, which is the person. How long has he fasted? And he's got to fast a Shiyira Zman up to Shkia Sachama. Okay. Two interpretations of Rashi. What do we find in Shulchan Aruch? So if you look on the bottom of your page 1, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins called Tainis Shelo Shaka Olav Chama Dahainu Shelo Hishlimo Ad Tseisa Kochavim Eino Tainis. So basically, the Shulchan Aruch codifies the halacha of Rav Chisda with one change. Rav Chisda speaks about Shkia, and the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Tseisa Kochav. Now, here in Eretz Yisrael, we have what's called the Badatz. You're all familiar with that. Otherwise known as the Eda Charedis. Now, one of the most important names in the Rabbonim that Paskin for the Eda Charedis is Rav Zlatnik. Now, I don't know Rav Zlatnik, but I knew one of his relatives. He was a Rebbe in Shalavim, where I taught for 10 years. And it's a family that goes back generations, and most of them in the later generations were connected to one particular Gadol, who was the Rosh Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, of the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva. and that was Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. In any event, he authors a book, part of which you'll see photocopied for you on the bottom two-thirds of page 2, called The Pre-Elio. And his topic is, if you read Nish'alti, the question that he was asked, is Echad Nosa B'Yudzayin B'Tamuz B'Aviron, somebody traveled on a plane on the 17th of Tammuz, and in this case he's going westward from Eretz Yisrael to the States. Now in such a case, he's going to have to extend his fast day, correct? Because when he gets to America, lo and behold, they're still fasting. He's, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they've finished the fast 7 hours ago.
He's the summer, the winter.
Ubi Eretz Yisrael yekfar laila b'kamashos. It's already nighttime for many hours. Ha'im mechuyav lahashlim esatainus shama. Does he have to add all these hours? And again, it could be 7 hours. We can extend it beyond this. You know, if you're traveling to Los Angeles, you know, it could go another 3 hours. Again, well, you have to take into consideration how fast the plane travels. They used to have, you remember the Concorde plane?
Yep.
I don't know, how long was it in use? I think for about 6 months or something?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, you had to be a millionaire to afford those prices. But you know the famous story I always tell you about the Concorde plane. You remember that one? There was somebody passed away in London, and they called up New York and they asked the Rav in New York to fly to London to officiate at the funeral in London. And this rabbi was able to get on a Concorde plane. He landed in London before the Patira. He says, "Im mechuyev lahashiv satayne shama oshe yie mutal lahafsik estaniso lefi cheshbon shel Eretz Yisrael." I mean, after all, he's an Israeli. Back in the home where his family is, everybody's eating. Why can't he? He's already done his due diligence. He's been fasting for 12 hours. Oh, Dilma, no, chayav lahosif ulahashlim satayneis. Sham, because even though in Israel it's Lila, it's not Lila yet in America.
What if he broke the fast already?
No, I'm asking. That was the question. The question is he? Well, oh, was that a joke, Dan? I didn't catch.
What if he broke the fast? What if he already started to eat in Israel?
No. What do you mean he started to eat?
It's another question.
Oh, you mean he left Israel after the fast?
Yeah, shortly after the fast, but he ate something.
Ah, if he left after the fast, then kuliyamalo pligi, then he doesn't have to fast. He was yotze ready the mitzvah. You don't have to fast twice. You know that far we don't have to go. But the question is, this one fast, has he fulfilled his mitzvah? Comes along Rav Elio's Latnik Shlita in Shut pre Elio, and he says the following. Again, it's a very long tshuva, but just to get to the punchline of the tshuva, he says that Moed Siyum HaTainis, when does the fast end for him? Tseis HaKochavim B'Makom Shebo Nimtza HaMis'an. We're going to see later on that he changes his mind, but his original impulse or instinct was it all depends on the place he is, and therefore this works bein lekula bein lechumra. Lekula, if he's flying eastward from America to Israel, he could end his fast with tzeisakol kovim in Eretz Yisrael prematurely, so to speak, and it works lechumra. Kishetas mi Yisrael liatzot habrit yitzarech latzum ad seisa kochav miatzot habrit. And the reason for that is because the yomat, everything depends upon the yomatinus, and the yomatinus is objective wherever you are. Your yomatinus ends at such a time on the clock. My yomatinus ends at a different clock because I'm located in a different. It all depends on when the yomatinus terminates in the place, in the location where you are. And therefore he writes that in a case of someone who is traveling westward, Hagam sheyom atayinis kvar nistayim be'eretz motza'o, in his origin, departure, right? Afilu kshadova karuf betosefet shel od sha'ot me esrim v'arba sha'ot shel taimis. Unbelievable. He says that it could go as far, again, I don't know, you have to work this out on the map, that you might be fasting for even more than 24 hours. Correct? Fine. Who agrees with the original position of Rav Eliyahu Zlotnik? Rav Moshe Feinstein. But what's fascinating about Rav Moshe's tshuva, which you'll find here on page 3. Okay, just one second. You see, it's a small tshuva, a short tshuva. It's next to the last, if you go up to the next last line on your page. This is in Igros Moshe Archaim Chelek Gimel. And he writes the following. He says, "Bidvar shinu ayom bein amedinos b'nesia be'airplane shemagia bizman katzar levedinos rechokos." Right, in a short period of time, it reaches far away lands. Lefamim nimtza shayom aruchlo biyoser. Right, that's if he's traveling. If he's traveling westward, ulefamim katzar yoser, he can cut it down. If he's traveling eastward, kasha lahashiv bazeh. Yechiel, I want you to enjoy these next words. He says, very difficult for me to answer your question. Which, by the way, that itself is atypical of Rav Moshe. Ki ein al zeh mekorim mamish. See, I would change the word to mekoros. Okay, fine. Mamish. B'divrei rabosein. V'tzarech ladun bazeh rak misvara. Is that not, like, I don't know if you guys appreciate that. This is, like, wild. Wild. I mean, where does Rav Moshe say that it's just a matter of svara? You know, forget about all the sources. Quote the sources, ahin, aher, and you're the biggest bucky in Shas and Poskim. Says Rav Moshe, it's not worth a darn. He says the following. Aval kol panim oshiv hanir al anias daiti besvara. Shalainian tainis misana bein lekula bein lechumra ad seisa kochom shehu bimakom shenimtza us. Wherever he finds himself at the moment of shkia sachama, the af shalafamim hurak shaos muatim. Even though if he's traveling eastward, he's going to have only a few hours of fast. Lo nikba hatainis al shos. There is no shir. How many hours do you have to fast? There ain't no such thing. You will not find anywhere, says Rav Moshe, a fast defined by hours of denying yourself food. X number of hours. Doesn't say in any way. It doesn't say 12 hours in the case of the Valentine's. Doesn't say 24 hours in the case of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Which, by the way, this is absolutely fascinating to me. If a person found himself on a plane on Yom Kippur, let's say he was a chole, sheyesh bo sakana, emergency, had to fly him, you know, to a physician somewhere in Israel. Again, it's hard to believe, you know, that to go from Toronto to Israel for an emergency. But let's say his family physician is in Israel. He's got to go, and his Yom Kippur might end 7 hours before your Yom Kippur back in Toronto. It's pretty mind-boggling. And Rav Moshe doesn't seem to blink about this. And he applies it to Tisha B'Av because, again, in Tisha B'Av... Alright? Okay. Now, who else has something to say about this? What I want to call to your attention is... Just one second... is Rav Avadi Yosef. Now, I don't know how many pages you have in front of you, but if you happen to have the fifth page, this is Chazon Ovadia. And he says, again, it's part of a very a very complicated tshuva, but I'm just, again, just because I always run out of time, the punchline is Ein lecha ela makomo v'shaito, which means it all depends, right? You see, let me just say a word about the Chazon Ovadia. Chazon Ovadia is very different than his other tshuva svarim. In some of his other tshuva svarim, you'll read for 40 pages until you get to the punchline. And you can't stop in the middle because he changes his mind midway through the 40 pages. But the Chazon Ovadia is a little different. He gives you the answer up front. And then he says, if you want to understand my logic, read my footnotes, which will take you a couple of months. So if you look at the text on top, he says in the last five words, Ein lecha ela makomo v'shaita. Now, here's a fascinating question. See, everything we've been dealing with the exception of Yom Kippur, is all derabanan. Would this whole discussion touch on a doraisa? And here we have none other than Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, who lived about, let's say he died about 90 years ago. And he wrote a sefer called, amongst his various farm, called the Meshech Chachma. And he claims that this issue is a doraisa issue. And what's the case? There's something called Oso vs. Bino. You're not allowed to shecht both the mother and the child on the same day. And he wants to ask the following question. He says, Shachtu v'artzot habrit behema, they shechted an animal b'yom rishon at 7 a.m. in the morning. And now, the law would be that he's allowed to shecht the child, right, the calf, whatever you want to call it, on, just let me read it, Mutal Lishchot Zbna B'yom Rishon B'sha Eser Balayla, meaning, let's say it's in the summer months, and nightfall, you know, Tzeisa Kochovim is at 10 p.m. that very night, he can shech the ben, which is what we call Ar Liom Sheni. Okay? He says, but he's on his way to Artzot HaBrit. And Lefi Sha'on Artzot HaBrit, Hashah Hu Shalosh Achrei Atzarayim. It's 10 p.m. in Israel, which means it's tomorrow, Monday. Whereas in America, it's 3 in the afternoon on Sunday. Says Rav Meir Simcha, no problem. On 3 p.m., he can shecht the animal in America. Why? She'ein lecha ela mekomo v'shaito. What does that mean? Just one sec. Give me one second. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I'm reading it correctly. Sometimes I get a little bit confused. Shachto v'yatzos v'bis behema v'yom rishon. V'lushos v'yom sheni v'yom sheni v'yom sheni. Lefi Sha'on Yisrael, Afal Pi, Shofishon Atzos Abris, Hashash Loshim Zarem, Ein Zayn Ekshe Shoto Oso Vespino Biyom Echa, Mikeman, Sheim Lecha El Mekom of Vishaito, Shagach Haim Nishkata, Biyom Rishon, Biyatzot Abri, Biyom Sheni, Biyis. Okay, so again, here's your case, Dan. Dan, listen, this is very similar to what you were asking before. Before he gets on the plane in Ben Gurion Airport, he shechted the mother. He lands in America at 3 p.m. Okay?
I thought he was traveling the other way around.
No. Let me see if I got this straight, and then you'll correct me. I'm sorry. You know, you have to hold cup here, so you may be way ahead of me. But I'm very slow, so bear with me. He left America and shechted the mother at 7 a.m.
That's Israel
time, correct? He lands...
7 a.m.
Right? At 7 a.m. So he lands in Israel. I'm sorry. He lands in Toronto at 3 p.m. Am I okay so far? 3 p.m. On the same day, Sunday, right?
He lands 3 p.m. Toronto time?
Toronto. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, so he lands 3 p.m. Toronto time, and somebody greets him.
10 p.m. in Israel.
It's already 10 p.m. in Israel. 3 p.m. in Toronto. Says Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, somebody greets him in Pearson Airport with the child of this mother that was shechted in Eretz Yisrael. He can shecht the animal right there on the spot, 3 p.m. on the same calendar day that he shechted the mother. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, it's already Monday. Wild, though. What do you say, Ira?
Because he's got the connection.
Oh, Joe? Okay, good.
Because he's got the connection. That this is different than our case.
Yeah, it's right on.
Ira, you were going to say something. I don't know. There's a lot of people talking.
Listen, how come Rav Moshe didn't look at it? He said you have to totally do this by Sfar.
Right.
He didn't look at stuff when they travel by boat. Like the Home of Heroes Homage thing where you travel by boat and the time changed. What's the difference? I know it's not as fast, but it's the same concept.
I don't know if I'll tell you the truth, Ira. I'm not a Bucky in Shas, but I think I would rely on Rav Moshe in this case that there's no discussion in Shas about traveling by boat in a time change. Now, you can ask me, why didn't the Gemara discuss that? I don't know. Either the Gemara felt it was obvious in one direction or the other, or the Gemara felt this was a very unusual kind of circumstances, that the boat would go fast enough to defeat, you know, to change the times. I don't know. So look, Ira,
I think it was that guy. He was one of those explorers. I think he was the first one to sail around the world. He kept a diary. He came back to England or Portugal, wherever it was, and they were out one day. They couldn't figure it out.
Ah. Joe, what did you want to say before?
This is another day.
I have a question.
Yeah?
So, like Joe said earlier, the two situations, they're not the same, because one is about fasting. It's on the one, was only dependent on one person only. But when I say this, it involves two different animals in two different places. That's totally different than fasting.
That's what Joe was saying.
I know.
I don't think the Arsamech was comparing him. I think Rav Ovadia Yosef was comparing him. If you read his footnotes in Chazon Ovadia, and he wanted to say that this tshuva of Rav Meir Simcha would seem to indicate that we're counting days by, in this case, by the departure, if you follow what I mean. Not by the landing. And the reason for that is because there's a halach of shechita, and the makom shechita will be koveya, the yom, as far as the isur of oso vespino biomecha.
Right. Which is a different situation.
But that's totally different than fasting.
Right.
Now, we don't know. Now, this was getting back to Dan's question before. If, let's say, I don't know, Dan's question was if I already broke my fast. No, let's say I started my fast in Eretz Yisrael, correct? Because I left at 7 a.m. I landed in Toronto at 3 p.m. The fact that I started my fast in Eretz Yisrael, does that now exempt me? And that's what we're going to see Rav Zlotnick in the next paragraph, from fasting the other 7 hours until 10 p.m. when the fast ends in Toronto. Because since I already established my fast in Eretz Yisrael, then all I have to do is set up the end of that day. That day is determined, like we saw in Rav Meir Simcha, by the beginning of, instead of shechita in this case, the beginning of fasting. I was koveya my tainus in Eretz Yisrael. Now, when that day ends in Eretz Yisrael, who cares where I am? That's irrelevant, right? If you take Rav Meir Simcha,
simple answer to that question.
Wait 1 second, Yechiel. You're too fast for me. Let me first say what I'm saying, because I don't even understand what I'm saying. After I understand what I'm saying, then you can slug me up. Just give me a little rope here. We meet once a week for 45 minutes. So let me just give you. What I'm suggesting is the following. If Rav Meir Simcha is saying that I could be koveya the yom in the place where I began that mitzvah, or in the flip side, in the case of the Isur that enjoins me from shechting the child, I was koveya my day in Eretz Yisrael at 7 a.m. When does that day end vis-a-vis that mitzvah? If that's what Rabbi Simcha is saying, then just like I was koveya my yom in Eretz Yisrael at 7 a.m. vis-a-vis the Isur of Osov es Bino, such that now at 3 p.m. when I land in Toronto, it's 10 p.m. in Eretz Yisrael, it's a new day, and now I can shech the child. If that's what Meir Simcha is saying, why not apply that? And now you'll slug me up, but I just want to get it clear in my mind that Rav Meir Simcha would say, if I was koveya my fast in Eretz Yisrael at 7 a.m., I started fasting, my day of fasting ends with Seisa Kochavim, that's 3 o'clock on the new clock in Pearson, but it's 10 o'clock back in Ben Gurion, meaning it's not totally in the Gavra. I don't care where the Gavra is located. I want to know vis-a-vis this particular mitzvah where the day began. And where the day begins, that's where the day is going to end. All right, Yechiel, now the floor is yours. Go ahead. So
why that argument is no good? Because there's another principle that trumps it 100%. What's that? Marisai.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent.
Mars 9 trumps it.
Okay, so that's going to be the second half. But listen, Yechiel, I want you to talk like a lambda here. It's much more fundamental than Mars 9. It's called Makom Shenagu. Are you familiar with that? So, for example, if I leave, this is all just fantasy, but I'm saying, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, we do malacha on Erev Pesach. In Toronto, we don't do malacha on Erev Pesach. So the halacha is that if I get on a plane on Erev Pesach in Eretz Yisrael and I land in Erev Pesach and I land in Toronto on Erev Pesach, even though my intention is to go back to Eretz Yisrael, I'm not allowed to do malacha in Toronto. That's not called. This is much more far-reaching than Maris Ayin. This is called Makom Shenog. In fact, that's the whole business about Israelis in Chutz Laaretz on Yontif Sheni. And basically, again, I'm not trying to prejudice you, but if anybody would ask me that, Shaila, forget it. There's no issue to talk about. You have to observe Yontif Sheni in Chutz Laaretz. I don't care if you're Israeli. I don't care, you know, you could be Israeli as apple pie, it wouldn't make any difference to me. You've got to observe Yontif Sheni. That's called Makom Shenagu. And Makom Shenagu works in both directions. It works if you have a chumrah in your place of origin, or if you don't have a chumrah in your place of origin, you have a kula, but there's such a chumrah in the place you land, in your destination. So therefore, Yechiel, you're pointing out the following. Wonderful. You're going to tell me that I finish my fast on that day that I started it, which means on the Israeli clock, it's 3 p.m. in Toronto. I started my fast in Yerushalayim. It's 10 p.m. in Yerushalayim. I haven't changed my clock yet. And therefore, I can break my fast. No, you can't break your fast because of another halacha of Makom Shenog.
Same thing with pouring. When you go from your shalayim and back and forth with Megillah and stuff, is that also Makom Shenagu?
Well, the issue with Megillah is where will you be on the day of Purim? Are you landing? Let me just think. What's your case? You're talking about your shalayim now? Maybe Tesvav? Is that what you discussed?
No, I'm just talking about going back to Purim, Shalom, Tel Aviv. That's a whole different issue.
No, but wait a minute. You know, I just want to get my head screwed on here. Are we talking about the 14th of Adar or the 15th of Adar? In other words, let's say, for example, if I get on a plane after Megillah reading here in Yerushalayim, just one second, if I get on a plane here after Megillah reading in Yerushalayim, just, wait, maybe it goes the other way around? Just one second. Wait, give me one second. I'm sorry. I get on the plane after Megillah reading, and then later. You know what? I'll tell you where Ira. This would be a radical case. I don't know how to work it out on the clock, but let's say you left Toronto before Purim, and you landed in Eretz Yisrael after Purim. That could certainly happen with the international dateline for sure. So you never had any Purim. So I don't know. Maybe you have to read the Megillah on the plane. I don't know. Are you following me? I left on the western side of the globe on the 13th of Adar, towards the end, but before the 14th commenced.
On his Esther.
And I skipped over a day, right?
35 o'clock from Toronto. No. And you're going to arrive in Israel already 11.
So, Ira, let's say on Yom HaKippurim, I left Erev Yom Kippur, and I landed on the 11th of Tishrei. I never had the 10th of Tishrei. I skipped that day. You know what I mean? So what do you do in that case? That really touches on the international dateline and all that.
That's it, dear.
But I just, before we, again, I don't know how many minutes we have left, I just wanted to present to you the final conclusion of Rabbi Zlatnik. Okay? As we quoted the pre-Elio from page 2.
Can I point out, Rabbi, that what you said with regards to Machim Shanagu, that works for the fast, that works for Megillah, that works for those things. But with regards to the give,
nobody knows that I shechted the mother, right?
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. No, for sure. So let me now quote to you, if you have page 2, the ultimate conclusion of the pre-Elio. He says the following: Tainis tzricha lios kishir shal yud beis olchaf dalid shos. You must fast a minimum of 12 or 24 hours. And he proved.
Where is that column? Second
paragraph. You have it? Which column is it? All right, see if you can find it. Again, I'm rushing against the clock here. Everything today is about the clock. He says the following: Holchacha mi divrei Ramah. He wants to prove from the Ramah. Now, if you want to see the Ramah, you'll see it on page 3. But I'll tell you the truth, I could read to you the Ramah without you having to bother looking on page 3. He says, V'yesh omrim she'im chalam lo chalom rabitz arayim. In the afternoon he fell asleep and he had a very disturbing dream. Yis'ane ad chatzos halayla. He should fast until 12 midnight. Now, I have to tell you, the Ramah was in Krakow. There was no such thing as Teis HaKochavim at 12 midnight. There are plenty of places on the face of the earth where that's true. But that's not what the Ramah is saying. The Ramah is saying that since he only started in the afternoon, even if his day, meaning Teis HaKochavim, was just a few hours later, he's got to add to his fast that number of hours that would make up the minus 12, the increment between, let's say, 5 hours and 12 hours, he's going to have to add another 7 hours. So if Teis HaKochavim is at 5, and he started his fast, let's say, at 12 noon, so he's only fasted for 5 hours, he will not end his fast until 12 midnight, because you need a minimum of 12 hours. Says Rav Elio Zlatnik, I mean, this is pretty impressive. I mean, you have to think why Rav Moshe Feinstein couldn't think of this, and he said there's no source whatsoever. Says Rav Zlatnik, Muchach me'aramah, we see clearly from the Ramah, Kisium ha'tainis lo nikba, the termination of the tainis is not determined by your encounter with the Shkia Sachama, Elagakli achar siyum yom shel tainis. And when is the yom shel tainis? Yud beis shol shel tainis. You need an actuality of 12 hours of fasting. This is going to have tremendous implications for travelers by plane. Because what he's saying is that you have to complete your day of tainis. And that would apply to Tzom Gedalia, and to Asar B'Teves, and Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. And that's all 12-hour fast days. Or, for example, in the case of Tisha B'Av or Yom HaKippurim, we're talking about Me'es Leis, a full 24 hours. And therefore...
So, one second. Hours doesn't mean hours. hours means chalakim of that day. It's not hours.
Oh, you mean shows manios, you mean?
Right.
Okay, maybe you're right. I didn't even think about that, Joe. That's a brilliant comment. I'm not up to that yet. But what I'm trying to say is that if you're traveling eastward to Eretz Yisrael, then according to Rav Zelazny at this point, you cannot terminate your fast with the Israelis at 10 p.m. You're going to be fasting way beyond 10 p.m. Wait, did I get that right? Let me just see. Did I got that right? Okay, I'm not even going to... If you tell me I got it right, that's okay with me. I don't have the brain power and the time to think about it. He says, if on the other hand, you're traveling from Israel to America, and you're on the plane 12 hours after you began your fast day, Rashoy hu lahafsik es hatainis. Again, we're assuming now that there's no Marisayim because we all got on the plane in Ben Gurion. There's no din of makom shenagu. Now, why is there no din of makom shenagu? That has to do with something called a midbar. Because the Gemara establishes there's a parak called Makom Shenagu in Psachim, and the Gemara says that if you land in a desert, then you don't have to worry about the Minig HaMakom. There is no Minig HaMakom in a desert. Now, I don't remember which of the Poskim says this, but this is very clear in the Poskim. An airport, as a general rule, again there are always exceptions, but an airport in general is considered a midbar. So for example, if I leave Motzei Yontif and I land in, let's say, in Marseille, France, and they have another day of Yontif, what I have to do is I can get off the plane on Yontif Sheni, because I don't have Yontif Sheni in the airport, but I can't leave the airport and travel into the Jewish community of Marseille. And I was once in exactly that situation, and I was together with a great Rosh Hashiva. I was so happy to find him on the plane because, you know, I was worried that maybe I was a little bit too lenient, but I saw that he did the same thing. And basically we landed in France a few hours before the fast ended. A few hours before Yontif ended, and then we traveled in. So B'Kitzar Maisa, in this case, where he's allowed to break his fast because he's been fasting when he traveled from Israel to America, he's been already fasting a full 12 hours. He says, even though when he gets to Arzot HaBrit, they're still fasting, he could break his fast. Now, what's going to happen is that in this case, he's going to eat dinner on the plane, hopefully as an El Al, you know, kosher meal, but he's going to have to go back into the fast mode, fast milosh and tainus, right? Fast mode, when he lands in Toronto until Tseis HaKochavim, and that's for reasons of Makom Shenagu. So it's very interesting. You know, if you test a boy in Orach Chaim for smicha and ask him a question, Ilchus Tainis, give me a hechatimtza where you end your fast and you pick it up again. This is going to be the case. He's going to eat 12 hours after the fast of Israel on the plane. He's going to land in Canada, wherever he lands, and he's going to pick up the fast again. And he says, Benidon didan shehischil lisanos. This is fine in conclusion, which I was hoping to get in before the bell rings. He says, Be'inyan nidon didan shehischil lisanos beretz Yisrael, lefi azman shel etz Yisrael. We've passed enough hours that there's already the end of the fast in Eretz Yisrael. He's fasted the hours of the Yom HaTainis, even though in his point of arrival, according to the clock in his destination, he's allowed to eat on the plane. Pilei plud. This is a rav in Eretz Yisrael on the badatz. It's the exact opposite conclusion that we saw in Rav Moshe Feinstein and in Rav Avad Yosef. And you'll have to pick and choose who you want to paskin like. But what I'm warning you is, don't jump the gun here and paskin like Rav Zelaznik Lekula, that you could break your fast, because it's going to be a chumrah in the opposite direction. I wanted to feed you supper on your Shivasa Batamas when you arrive in Ben Gurion Airport. He's going to say, no, you haven't fasted this year yet, because back in Toronto where you started your fast, it's not yet Shkia Sacham. So be careful here where you pick your kula, because it goes L'chumra in both directions. But it's the exact opposite of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And then he writes that we still have a problem of Makom Shenagu Sham, and again, that's the whole next paragraph, but I don't know if we have time for that. I just wanted to answer David's question. Yeah.
So, two things. First of all, traveling towards the equator away from the equator is the same issue as going east and west. In other words, away from the equator is like going west. The sun sets later. The similar type of question.
Well, you're flying south to South America, you mean?
If you're flying South America, well, flying towards the equator. The further you go away from the equator, the later the sun sets. It's like east and west, but on a smaller scale.
Right.
That's just one thing. It's side point.
Would you say that?
Right, so if you're going from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, correct?
No, because you're crossing equators, so the problem grows again. But as you get, if you're going from, let's say, Toronto to Peru,
right,
you have a shorter fast.
You have a what? A shorter fast?
Peru.
Why? Because in Peru, the day is going to end earlier. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yeah. Same issue, basically. Sorry.
I mean, it's like traveling from Toronto to Israel.
Exactly.
Ah.
Would you say over Peru to South America, you have a problem again, because then it sets later. Like, you have to go towards the equator, sun sets earlier. Yeah, but the other thing I want to ask you about is, I don't know if you were discussing this here, maybe a different year, is the second for Stockholm, Shabbos and Tammuz in particular, that it ends 9 p.m. regardless. There's a special thing about Stockholm at 9 p.m. on Shabbos and Tammuz.
In other words, even though nightfall in Stockholm is much, much later on.
It's so different. Yeah, there's no nightfall. No, there is. There's even one. I was there.
Midnight, 1 a.m.?
Right. So it gets dark around midnight.
You mean they paskin that Stockholm has like the same din as the Antarctica, meaning if you're in the Antarctica, you have 6 months of light and then 6 months of darkness. So what do you do?
It's not far enough north to do that.
What?
No,
I understand what I'm saying, but I'm giving you the extreme example. Let's say the extreme example, I'm on the North Pole, or the same thing applying the South Pole. So when does my fast end? So the Aloch has to determine a certain, I don't know what you call it, a mean, not mean angry, but a mean time, which is Kovea. I think in the case of Stockholm, we're also going to apply that kind of a rule. It also applies to Helsinki, I think, as well.
No? The status objective is only for Stockholm and nothing else.
I see.
Like Scotland is on the same latitude in other countries, maybe somewhere in the Northwest Territories or whatever, but there's a special objective for Eretz Yisrael. They did a calculation. I read the whole story, but I know there's a story to it as well.
I want to ask you an honest-to-goodness question.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of a posek or a person who relies on a posek who eats on a fast day on a plane to Toronto? I never heard of such a thing. Maybe you heard of such a thing.
Try not to travel on a fast day. It's hard to get a minion on the plane.
All right. But I'm not asking. I mean, my question is not whether you actually saw it on the plane. I was really asking, did you ever hear of a posek who would paskin for anybody that he could eat on a plane when he's about to land a few hours later in a country where it's in the middle of the fast? No, but in my mind, again, maybe because we're so used to poskim like Rav Avad Yosef and like Rav Moshe Feinstein, and again, I'm not trying in any way to question that, but I'm saying here's a contemporary posek who is a gewaldige posek, a giant in halacha. He is on the badatz. You know, we rely on him, you know, whenever I have issues of chadash, because stuff is coming from chutz laretz, I'm makbid to eat badatz, because I got to make sure there's no chadash, and badatz is the only hechsher that guarantees that everything is yashan. And here is this gadol b'Yisrael who's telling me that I left Israel and I'm going to eat and break my fast on the plane. To me, that means a lot. I mean, it's a big chiddush for me. I never, ever thought, and that's why I say to you, you know, when I originally started this year and I asked you the question, you know, oh, we could be laid back, or we all know what the answer has to be. But it's not so. When you go back to the sources, it's lo pashut. The Ramah is telling you that you cannot terminate your fast with 5 hours of fasting. The halacha doesn't recognize such a thing. You left at 12 noon. It's 5 p.m. Right? And if the sun is set, you started your fast at, again in the midday because you had a tainus chalom during a daydream. And this is not a fast. You need to extend your fast until midnight, my buddy. And you, even though you've encountered Shkia Sacham. A pretty cool move here, where Moshe says there's no makoros. Now again, Rabosai, if we had time, which we don't, I would revisit this proof from the Ramah, because I think, and I'm asking everyone here to think about this, yesh lechalik. I think that maybe the Ramah is not necessarily a convincing proof, and the analogy is not necessarily correct. But that's not. We're not going to do this now. I'm going to wish everyone a great week. And do we see each other?
If you're looking to the Stockholm thing, I'm curious.
Yeah. Do we meet before Shavuos or B'Tammuz? When is Shavuos or B'Tammuz?
It's on Shabbos.
Oh, so the fast is this Sunday, right?
It's in Nitzchah.
Oh, so next time we meet will be during Bein HaMetzorim.
This Sunday or next Sunday? 23rd.
Oh, it's not this Sunday. Oh, it's the following Sunday. Oh, okay. So I gave the shiur a little bit earlier so that you have more time to think about it, because the whole shiur might be irrelevant in Mirtz Hashem by Shavuos V'Tammuz, when the Mashiach will be.
Let's do an international